Hello and welcome to another episode of the Halloween Podcast. I am your host, Lyle Perez, and with me today I have Hunter Ferris from the Song Appeal Podcast, and we're going to talk a little bit about what makes horror music scary. Hunter, welcome to the show.
Hey Lyle, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Great.
Good. Are you ready to talk a little scary music?
I am.
Perfect. So you sent me a list of a lot of cool facts about some horror themes, some horror movie themes. And I think one of the most notable one that that I liked was the Friday the 13th movies.
Okay, so there's a lot of cool stuff in the score for Friday the 13th. But one of the things I thought was most interesting was people probably recognize the key, 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 ma, ma, ma sound more than they remember that Mrs. Voorhees is the killer, not Jason, in that movie, in the original movie. And it makes me wonder, why is that so memorable? Why is that so important? So, let's jump into some really weird bits of psycholinguistics. Yeah, that's a branch. That's a branch of study. It turns out certain sounds sound sharper than other sounds. Something like, if I gave you the words Kiki and Bobo, which one would you expect would be a sharper sound?
The key.
Exactly. The idea of having key, key, key come in the score so often makes it feel like there's something sharp, like a machete, and the fact that it's breathy, it makes it feel like something sharp is breathing down your neck. It's a brilliant idea for a horror score. That's kind of just what happens to get the idea of a killer with a sharp object when you don't see the killer until the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I never really thought about those noises were supposed to be more than just having a weird noise happen when something bad was going to happen.
Yeah, so it turns out, the reason they did it in the first place, the composer Henry Manfredini wanted to give the feeling that the killer was there when you couldn't see the killer. Kind of like the Jaws theme did when you don't see the shark. Anyway, so what he did was he took the line, kill her mommy, right at the end, and he kept saying that line over and over and over throughout the movie so that you can feel that the killer's there, even though the killer's not there, by giving the feeling of something sharp with the key, key, key idea.
Okay, so I guess it's just more like trying to work on our senses of where we feel like we're being watched, but we're not really being watched. You can't really give that feeling when you're watching something visual like a movie, but if you have the sound, it kind of makes you feel like, hey, there might be something behind me that's stalking me.
Exactly.
That's
cool. It's a great way to scare somebody.
Oh, definitely. That's in it by itself, that's a horrible sound to make.
The 2009 version of Friday the 13th, this is where things get weird. Do you remember Hello Zepp from Saw?
Yes.
Do you remember the theme from Friday the 13th, 2009, Steve Jablonski's theme?
No, I do not.
That's probably a good thing. Not because the theme is bad, but because the theme is designed to work subconsciously. The theme keeps quoting the Saw theme to make us feel the same fear that we felt at the end of Saw. Like, it uses exactly the same tune at some points.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure how that's legal, but it's brilliant.
It is. They're probably just trying to get that same feeling of dread inside the music.
Probably, yeah. I would not be at all surprised to find that Friday the 13th, 2009 used Hello Zepp as the temp score or something like that.
All right, so let's move on to something that probably more people will be more familiar with. Let's talk about the theme of the Twilight Zone. We all know that one.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight.
So the Twilight Zone theme is actually a really normal melodic theme. In the melody. if you play the melody, it just goes da 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 dum, which is really melodic. It's really pretty. The problem is, they're throwing on a note in the harmony that makes every single note there dissonant. All of them. The melody, if you're into music theory at all, is in E major, and the note in the harmony is a B flat, which isn't even in the same scale. Which means that every single note there has a note that's just way too close to it. The melody is one half step or two half steps away from that B flat at all times, except for the lowest note, which is the distance of a tritone, which sounds so bad, it used to be called the devil's interval. The sheer amount of dissonance in this theme turns this really pretty melodic theme into a dissonant, nightmarish theme.
It does, and I'm pretty sure Rod Serling's voice in the beginning kind of really helps it.
Probably. I mean, right? you got creepy narration with creepy music.
And
Makes sense.
Creepy visuals, too, because if you look at it, when Rod Serling's talking, there's like glass breaking when he's talking about the sense of sound. The glass breaks, the sight, the big old eye that comes up in the screen. I love the Twilight Zone.
Same. It's a really, what's the word, surrealist piece of visuals?
Yeah, it definitely is. And knowing more about the music now, I'm gonna really have to, take another dive into the Twilight Zone and really listen to the songs. I mean, because it's playing in my head right now, but I'm pretty sure I'm not getting it exactly right, because there's nothing like actually listening to the tune versus remembering it.
Yeah, re-experiencing it feels a little different. Although there's some psychology stuff behind, I'm gonna not talk about that.
All right. Do you have anything else about the Twilight Zone music that you want to share?
Those are the two main things, but there is one really weird bit. Well, that was the main thing, but there's one really weird bit for newcomers into the show. I mean, back when the show was originally airing in the 60s or during the revival series in the 80s, this couldn't be a reference to it, but now this could be so cool if they rebooted the show. So the melody of the theme is ba-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-dum. Anybody who watched Suicide Squad should recognize that as the tune from the chorus of Heathens by 21 Pilots.
Is it really?
Yeah. All my friends are heathens, take it slow.
Oh, yeah.
It's just sped up about four times the speed. Or rather, Heathens is about four times slower. I feel like if somebody who really liked Suicide Squad went back and watched The Twilight Zone, they would be even more creeped out because of that reference.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay, so perfect. So let's go ahead and move on to another horror film, which is The Nightmare on Elm Street. So you sent me a couple of things on that one. What can you tell us about the music in that?
Nightmare on Elm Street. Can you remember how the theme goes?
I can't, but I'll play it right now.
Wait, before you do. Could you hum the theme?
No.
Like, hypothetically, could you, if somebody had a set of a razor blade glove to your neck and asked, hum the theme from Nightmare on Elm Street, could you do it?
I probably couldn't.
Do you know why?
Maybe because I think I'm going to be getting it confused with something else.
Well, I mean, the Nightmare on Elm Street theme, it's really just a bunch of ambient synthesizers. There is no real melody to it. Except for this, which is basically just designed to give a feeling. Except for this one little melody that's atonal. Do you know anything about music theory?
No.
Okay, no worries. I just like knowing how much to go into. Okay, so every song is in a specific key. That there are specific notes that make sense in this song, and there are specific notes that do specific things. Like, there's one note that's going to feel like a resolution, and another note that's going to have a bunch of tension. And then there's atonal music, which has no key at all. There are no notes that don't make sense for this song. Every note makes sense. Every note is fair game. There's no note that has a specific function. It's just music, which is really unusual to Western ears. It's a sound that just feels wrong, because it feels like there should be a key signature. It feels like there should be some sort of tonal center to this, but we don't ever get that, and there's no possibility of resolution. Atonal music, by definition, can't resolve. It leaves us in suspense the entire time in this feeling of something's wrong.
Now that you're saying that, I'm kind of picturing it, and that this seem very... It's hard to explain. It seems very odd to me that there would be no ending to the song that just continues going to give me that feeling of dread.
Exactly. It's designed to feel like the song that never ends.
Yeah, it feels wrong. I guess that's the best way to put it. That, thinking about it, wrong is probably the best thing, because it's just going to continue. It's just climax the entire way with no starting to taper off into an ending.
Exactly. It's off-putting. It's unsettling. It's unusual. What better way to creep out an audience than to get them to feel like something's off?
Yeah, that does get, especially with Friday the 13th. No, with Nightmare on Elm Street, because Freddy was a very off character.
Exactly.
So I guess the music does work out well in that case. Well, for most of these movies, I mean, the music has to be done well, or else people wouldn't remember it as much as they do now.
Yeah, I feel like the music is almost just as much a part of the movie as some of the characters or as some of the visuals.
I'm pretty sure it has to be, because I think if you watch the movie without any of the music, would it really be as scary as it would with the music?
Well, depends on the movie. You ever seen a horror movie made in Japan?
No, I have not.
Okay, bad reference point then. Seen A Quiet Place?
Mm-mm.
You'll like that one. Anyway, so Japanese horror movies and A Quiet Place also don't use much soundtrack. In fact, they try to use as little as possible. Because American horror movies, they almost tell the audience when the killer is coming, and you feel this sense of dread that comes about 5 seconds before the killer comes, because you know he's coming. In Japanese horror movies, there is no music. So you don't know when the killer's coming, which makes it that the entire time the killer could pop out of nowhere.
That sounds more terrifying, but according to watching scary movies with my wife, I know the killer's coming. So when the killer does pop out, I don't jump. But her, on the other hand, she knows it's coming, and she screams to no end.
You've probably heard Alfred Hitchcock's quote, "There is no terror in the bang, there's only terror in the anticipation of the bang."
Right.
That's kind of the idea behind American horror scores, to give the audience the feeling that the killer will come sometime, but you don't know when. But when you take out the score in the movie, I just saw A Quiet Place like 2 days ago. During the first 40 minutes, I believe, at least 20, there is no score. The only sounds you're hearing are really loud sound designs. Every leaf makes a crunch. Every time somebody takes a toy off of a shelf, it makes a sound. Every time the pill bottle moves, it shakes. You hear every single sound, which is kind of the plot of the movie.
Right.
But during the whole time, I'm expecting the monster to come out of nowhere. The entire first 20 minutes. And then the entire rest of the movie, I'm expecting it to happen any second. Which is where silence or a lack of score could be just as effective as a score.
Yeah, I'm really going to have to think about that, because now that we're talking about all of this music scoring and the importance of it in movies, I honestly, I don't really pay attention to it. At least subconsciously, I probably am, but... when I'm watching a movie, I don't really think about the music going on in the background. I mean, I know there's something there. I'm not attuning to it. I'm only attuning to what is happening on the screen. That's probably why jump scares don't scare me, because I know the music's going on, but I'm not really paying close attention to it to where things are going to jump out at me and it's going to scare me because I'm being distracted by the music while I'm trying to watch this visual thing. So I'll know kind of exactly when things are going to start jumping out so I don't get scared. I don't freak out like my wife does. She'll just like start screaming and yelling, and it's her screaming and yelling that scares me. It's not really what's going on in the movie. It's her behind me just going, ah, and then I'm like, okay, you just scared me, not the movie.
Which in a sense was why Halloween and Psycho worked so well.
Okay. I never seen Halloween and Psycho. I saw probably the last like, I don't know, half an hour or so. I'm really bad when it comes to historical horror movies. I mean, I definitely want to go back and check them all out with adult eyes, because I never really saw any of these movies as a kid like most people have. But it's something that I really enjoy doing. I mean, there's a lot of movies that I remember from my childhood that I haven't seen since I was a little kid, and I watch them now and I'm like, yeah, I guess I can appreciate that they actually hold my attention, unlike, you know, some of the movies I've seen that come out recently.
Which is pretty impressive, to hold the attention for both a child and an adult.
It is very strange.
Honestly, holding the attention of a child is impressive. Holding the attention of somebody like me is impressive.
Cool. So yeah, that is Nightmare on Elm Street. Let's see. So we had another horror movie that we wanted to talk about. We wanted to talk about Jaws. And Jaws, I do remember the main scoring, which is the dun-dun, dun-dun, dun-dun. And then it just slowly gets, the dun-duns get closer together as the song goes on.
Steven Spielberg said that he thought John Williams had lost his mind
when they came up with that.
Yeah, Spielberg was explaining the concept of this movie and explaining the shark, and John Williams said, "Oh, I have just the thing," and walked over to the piano and went, "Ba-dum." And Spielberg later said, "I thought John had lost his mind."
Oh no, it's brilliant. Like it really feels like something is, it's far away, and then it's slowly getting closer and closer and closer to you. Kind of like footsteps in a way, but a fish doesn't have, or a shark doesn't have footsteps. No feet.
That sounds like a terrible concept for Sharknado 6. Sharks with feet.
That's where it's going to come up next. I mean, it's the mammals in the sea. They're going to grow legs and come on the earth and conquer, on the land and conquer us.
I mean, they've already done sharks in space. What do you need to do next? Anyway, so one of the big reasons why it feels like something's approaching is because it gets louder and louder and louder. In music theory terms, there's a constant crescendo going on. I mean, you've probably heard how sounds that are closer to you feel louder.
Right, they do.
That's the whole idea behind that crescendo and that score. But there's another side to it. So the Jaws theme uses really, really, really low notes. Like, I'm not sure those instruments can make lower notes than that. And when you have notes that... Sorry. I need to explain this a little differently. So, you have really, really low notes. We've evolved to recognize that low sounds mean big things. Lions make low roars. Dinosaurs, we assume, make low roars. Anything that can eat us makes a low noise. Okay. And so to give the feeling that something could eat you in this movie, literally, the movie gives you low noises.
That is very, very interesting. Like, I never thought about it that way, that it is a low noise because it's a animal that can eat me in one swallow. And
yeah.
It is a low note, and I guess, yeah, most animals that can eat you do low notes. I mean, they're, unless it's like, you know, a chicken. Chicken doesn't really make low noises, and a chicken will probably eat anything, really.
Yeah, but a chicken can't kill you easily.
Not easily, but I'm pretty sure
it can kill you.
Okay, then let's think of it that way. Animals that can kill you always have loud.
If it's going to eat you in what, if it's going to eat you and if it's going to kill you and eat you,
it'll make the low noise.
Exactly.
Hmm. Who was it that did the scoring? John Williams?
John Williams.
Did he know that, like, to begin with? Or is that just something that he just said, you know what, I think this is going to be good, and he just did it subconsciously?
I never underestimate John Williams. I would assume that he picked that up from listening to scores and listening to classical music from the last 100 years and said this would work really well for the idea of a shark. Maybe he was listening to, maybe he was listening to Beethoven and said, hey, this feels scary, or hey, this feels like a shark, or this feels like something could eat me. I don't know how John Williams came up with the idea. I just know it works really, really well.
It does, for a movie about a huge shark that wants nothing more than to eat you. Then, yeah, it works perfect. That's very interesting. All these things, actually, about the music that I never even thought any more than them just being there to creep you out. I didn't know that there was an actual, like, I guess, science to getting these sounds in there in certain situations to make you feel differently as the movies are progressing.
Well, if there weren't a science, it wouldn't work.
That is very true. Awesome. So, before we go, I wanted to do one more. Let's talk a little bit about the Halloween theme, because that's another one that I can kind of remember. And if I'm remembering it correctly, which I'll probably going to be playing it in post-production, but it sounds a lot like the Twilight Zone theme in a way, no?
I've never thought about it like that, yeah.
It's kind of like with theme songs. We all know certain theme songs, and then people will start meshing theme songs together because they sound alike. So in my brain just right now, I was thinking the Halloween theme, it kind of does sound like the Twilight Zone theme. And then I wasn't 100% sure, but I think it does.
Well, if you notice, The Twilight Zone had been around for 20 years by the time Halloween 1 came out, and by the time Halloween 3, 4, 5, 6 were coming out, the revival series was already out. People were watching the Twilight Zone the same weekend they would be watching Halloween 3 or Halloween 2. Unfortunately, I don't remember any of the subtitles for any of the Halloween movies, or really any of these movies. Like, the subtitles confuse me. I'm like, which one is the Dream Fighters and which one is Jason Lives? And I know which one Jason X is. That makes sense. But, like, which one? They're all confusing to me. Anyway, that very well could be one of the reasons why it's so creepy. It's the same instruments. It's using the same, the word is register, where it's the same general area of how high or low the instrument is. That may be part of why it's so creepy. I've never thought about that part.
Yeah, I guess it could be.
So you mentioned that you're kind of running through in your head a mashup of the Twilight Zone and Halloween.
Right.
Does it feel a little jarring when you jump from Halloween to Twilight Zone or vice versa?
No, not really.
All right. If you put together if you just played 4 bars of the Twilight Zone theme and then played 4 bars of the Nightmare on Elm Street theme and just bounced back and forth between the two, it would feel really weird.
Okay, now that you're saying it like that, I'm picturing it more.
Okay. If you just do it straight up like that with no editing whatsoever, just cut and paste, it would feel really weird. It would feel really jarring between the Twilight theme and the Twilight Zone theme. Not the Twilight theme, we're not talking about vampires. those aren't even vampires. The jump between the Twilight Zone theme and the Halloween theme would feel really weird, and the jump back from the Halloween theme to the Twilight Zone theme would feel really weird. One of the reasons is because the theme from the Twilight Zone is in 4/4 time. There are four beats in every measure, and the first beat of every measure, or so the first beat of every four beats, is emphasized. The Halloween theme uses one of the most unusual time signatures I've ever seen in music, 5/4. Now, there are more unusual time signatures, it's just you don't ever see them in popular music or in soundtrack music, or at least not that often. It's like one measure, usually. But Halloween, the entire song is in 5/4. So the accented beat, the emphasized beat, comes later than we feel like it should. We feel like the song should be shorter than it is. What do you think it would do to you to have a song that feels longer than it is and where everything that should happen happens later than it should?
It would feel very, very strange.
Exactly.
Because I'm trying to picture it now, because I mean, I have played musical instruments. I do know about measures and beats and stuff. So for a 5/4, there would have to be five beats in a four, in a measure. So
exactly.
So it would go something like bump 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 bump, or bump 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 bump. All those bumps are really going to be good for the microphone for the listeners. Well, but
honestly,
isn't that how it's supposed to go?
Not exactly. That's still 4/4. That's just five beats. That's just five notes in four beats.
Okay, so
what we're talking here is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Gotcha.
One,
okay,
two, three,
so
five.
I was doing like a triplet at the end that would have made it. That would have made it two beats.
Yeah, you were doing a cha-cha.
Gotcha. That's where I was getting confused. But yeah, five beats in one measure. So that's
exactly,
that's given, I mean, because we all have our internal metronome, I guess you can say. We all can sort of keep a beat. We all know four beats will equal one measure roughly. So to add a fifth one, I mean, I don't know, because I have seen, or I have heard some music do that. It likes, I guess, I can't even think of the band, but there's a band that adds an extra note in the measure that isn't there in the previous measure, and they add that extra note, so it kind of makes you feel, I guess, a little weird, a little strange. Man, I wish I could remember the name of that song. But I've seen it.
Radiohead.
Okay, that one's a song that I know very well.
I don't remember if it actually is or not. I'm probably confusing it with another song, to be perfectly honest.
No, it's a metal song. I think it's by Death. I think it's a Death song, but I can't remember. If I remember it after this episode's done, we'll come back at the end of the episode and play it, because it's there. It just adds that extra note in the measure that makes you feel like, okay, why is that note in there? Like, I don't know, but it's there.
It feels unusual. It feels off. It feels too long.
Yeah, it feels like it's longer than the other ones, but it's really not. It's all in the same. It all mixes well. Man, you are making my head spin a million miles right now. Because it's things that we just never really think about, or at least I never really think about any of these things.
Oh. Okay, so here's part of why I think about it all. My brother is a soundtrack genius. Like, you give him any movie, he could tell you who scored it, he could hum you the theme, he might be able to tell you who conducted the orchestra, or who named the tracks on it. He knows soundtracks like some people know baseball cards. It's amazing. Living with him gets you a sense of what soundtracks do and why. And when I'm back home with my brother, there's like 16 hours of soundtrack music playing every day. I'm not kidding. Soundtrack music just turns on at the beginning of the day and doesn't end until it's time for bed. You get a really good idea of what's going on, and then you go to the theater and watch Infinity War, and they don't play the Spider-Man theme when Spider-Man's doing the big thing, and you're like, no, you had one job, and you go and watch A Quiet Place, and you pay attention to every single note in the soundtrack, and then you throw on even a little bit of music theory, and the entire idea of horror scores start to blow your mind.
You know, that is a very interesting thing. Whatever it is in our bodies that makes us do that is weird beyond control. I had that same exact problem, sort of, not exactly, but close. I mean, before I got into learning music and learning how to play guitar, I never really paid attention to the music that I was listening to. But now I can tell you whenever I listen to a song, I can tell you what their hand movements are going to be like for certain noises that they're making with the guitar. And for the life of me, I can't stop doing that when I listen to music. Like, it's second nature now. Like, I'll listen to it and I'll go, okay, it looks like his hand is going to be up towards the top of the neck, and then when he's going low, it's down. When he's making this type of a noise, his hand's moving like this. Like, I can't stop that. And with same with your scoring, like, I mean, you can't stop listening to those things and picking at them, because that's just how it is in your life now.
More or less.
That is strange.
And that's kind of the idea behind horror music in general, to make things strange.
It is, and that's a perfect way to bring everything back to the topic of the show.
Pretty much. I mean, honestly, the basic idea behind horror music is to take everything that we know about music and to not do it. It's to take everything we're used to and to say, forget what you think you know. It's to make us feel like things are wrong by doing things wrong.
Okay, yeah, that makes actually perfect sense when it comes to a horror movie, because everything in there is pretty much wrong. People shouldn't be killing people. There shouldn't be this demonic demon running around. People shouldn't be, I don't know, being a nuke explosion and then breaking your glasses at the end. Things like that shouldn't happen, but I mean, in this world they do, and then that's why we have the music to go along with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool, so I guess that's gonna do it for our discussion on what makes horror music scary. So Hunter, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. Do you have anything you want to plug? Mention your podcast again. What's it about?
So my podcast is the Song Appeal Podcast. It's a podcast on the psychology of pop and soundtrack music. Basically, every episode takes a look at a popular song and says, why do we like this on a psychological level? Essentially, what we were doing today. Just instead of what makes it scary, what makes it enjoyable? You can find it on any podcasting platform under Song Appeal, or you can find it on my website at songappealofficial.com.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to check that out. Have you guys done, I'm pretty sure you guys have done some Michael Jackson already.
Ooh, we have not yet.
You have not? Oh man, I thought that would have been like the first episode.
To be fair, we're on like episode 10. We've done stuff like Sugar We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy, Something Just Like This by the Chainsmokers, the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe soundtracks, Stacy's Mom by Fountains of Wayne. That's stuff we've done so far, but I'm going to write Michael Jackson down on the list.
I would say Michael Jackson, probably Thriller. There's something about Thriller that makes me happy, even though it's like watching the video, it's just weird.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird music video, but what isn't?
Of course.
I think that makes Thriller the most requested song now.
Awesome. Well, there you go. Got to do it now. Perfect. All right. Well, Hunter, thanks for coming on, and thank you guys for listening. If you'd like to send any questions, comments, or anything like that, go ahead and send those to thehalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. You could also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thehalloweenpodcast. And we're on Twitter at The Halloween Pod. If you'd like to support the show, you can do it a couple of different ways. You can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Those always help. You could also go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/thehalloweenpod. All right, Hunter. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us. So I want you to have a spooky night.
Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for having me.
I'll see you later. Hello, this is Lyle, and I am back. And I said that I was going to play a song, if I could remember who it was. And that song was by Death. That was correct. And it's called Symbolic. Enjoy, and I'll see you guys next week. Have a good night.
Wow!